Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Ngorema, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Elder Zama.
How are you doing this afternoon?
The Lord is keeping me and yourself.
No, keeping well, Pastor. Cannot complain at all. We are doing good and the Lord is powerful. Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you. We thank the Lord for that.
Now, we are going to be speaking to you the next 3 days about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. You know, our fundamental belief this week is about exactly that. And we're going to delve into this, his humanity and also his divinity, the purpose of his life and all things pertaining to his life, death, and also his resurrection. So please do help us understand, Pastor, if possible, the mystery of Christ's divinity and humanity, all wrapped up in one. Can you unpack that for us?
Yeah. Oh, no. Thank you for the question. Greetings, everyone. From eternity, Jesus was in a godly form until when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. That's when a plan was devised to save humanity. Because when man was created, the relationship between God and man was good. Mm-hmm. When they sinned, the relationship was broken. So Jesus was sent now to redeem the situation which was there. That separation was supposed to be corrected. That's when he became a human being, through the birth of Mary, by Mary rather, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, going down the whole chapter. So he became both God and man. So he was born by a human being through the Holy Spirit.
Mm. He was born through... by men through the Holy Spirit, you say, and you're saying that from eternity he was there always.
Yes, as God.
As God. Now, Bible yes. refers to him as the firstborn of creation. Does it mean that he's been there from eternity? Because it looks like he's the firstborn of creation.
he was there because he's God. Maybe in the sense... that in the sense of redemption, we can say so. But in the sense that he's God, he was from eternity. He is from eternity. Yes, as God. Then as God and man, that's when he was born by Mary through the Holy Spirit.
So that's what being a firstborn of creation means.
No, I'm not so careful to answer that one.
okay.
Yes, it caught me off guard.
Okay, I see. So the mystery of his divinity and humanity is that you saying that he has been divine from eternity, and his humanity begins
yes.
when he is born of Mary.
Yes,
I see.
Yes, so he's 100% God and he's 100% a human being.
Ah, I get it. Now, why was it important for him to be human? I mean, he was doing pretty well as a person who is not human. He becomes human, yet he was not human. But if he was not human before he was human, what was he? Was he spirit?
Well, God is a spirit, so he can come in many forms.
So Christ was spirit, basically.
He's a being. He's a being. Of course, he's a spirit. God is God. He's a spirit. He's a spirit, but he can come in different physical forms.
Yeah, so when he came, before he was born of Mary, he was spirit.
We can say so. We can say so.
We can make that assumption.
Yeah.
All right. So why was it important for him to be born then? To become human?
Yeah, if you consider, I think John chapter 13, verse 15, he came to set an example and to prove that it's possible to live a righteous life even if you are a human being. So he was supposed to be physically present so that we see him living a perfect life without sinning. So he came to set an example for us. So that's my understanding.
Was it necessary for him to come and set an example? Could not that example been set in other ways? Because, I mean, when before he was born, Christ dealt with the children of Israel. He's always been able to set an example, was he not?
Yeah, he was able. God can use, because all things are possible with God. He can use a thousand ways to to give a solution to one thing. So I don't really understand why he did it. He used this method. Maybe it was more ideal for the situation which was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was more ideal at that time than it was perhaps in the Old Testament times.
I think so. I think so. I think so. I think
Okay,
so.
we can make that assumption.
Yeah, because this whole drama of saving humanity is so, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Some of the methods which the Lord used, you cannot really comprehend to the fullest. But of course, you can explain to a certain extent, but times you cannot exhaust in explaining why he used such a method.
Now, tell me then, Pastor, what was the purpose of his life? I mean, why did he have to come and live among humans?
As I have said before, he was supposed to come and prove a point that it's possible to live a holy life, even if you are human, if you are a human being. So it was necessary. And at times, for the sake of our faith, we were supposed to see many people believes when they see. So his presence was of great help for people like Thomas's. So his presence was more convincing to many people that it's possible to live a righteous life, even if you're a human being. And I think he was supposed to die because sin and God doesn't see face to face. So he was supposed to come and die on behalf of humanity to save humanity.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, tell me, Pastor, you are saying that he had to come and live here to set an example that it's possible not to sin. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's very true.
Now, wouldn't he been at an advantage though? Because I mean, after all, he was God. So to say that it was possible not to sin, and yet he's God, of course it would not be possible for him not to sin. I mean, and on the other hand, we are not having a double barrel personality. We are only just human. We've got no iota of being God.
Yeah, quite interesting. Man, I think he never used divinity where humanity was needed. He used only divinity where divinity was needed. Because just bear in mind that Jesus came to connect humanity and divinity. So he was supposed to fit both sides. When divinity is doing its meetings, Jesus was supposed to fit there. And when humanity is doing its things, Jesus was supposed to fit there again. So where humanity was needed, he never compromised and he never took advantage of using divinity where humanity was needed. For example, when he died, he could have used divinity to just think those people out of existence and everyone was to vanish. But he never did that because he was supposed to suffer justice.
Yeah.
Because sin meets justice. So he made that justice for on behalf of what? Of humanity. We were supposed to die or we were supposed to die. Jesus did for us. So but, he never took advantage of it.
But let's go back one, Pastor, because, I mean, if he was here to set an example that it's possible not to sin, of course he was both God and man. I do want to check, because he set that example for us so that we also do not sin. Yet, we do not find any example of a human being who was just only fully human, who has actually never sinned. Do we have that example? We don't.
We don't have.
So which means that he actually had an unfair advantage because he actually did not fall into sin because he was actually God at the same time.
I think we have more advantage than he was, because when we sin, he's there to intercede for us. We confess our sin, so in through him we are made righteous. So he was not at an advantage. We are at advantage as human beings.
You're saying we are at an advantage?
Yeah, because of his death.
Or because of his death, but not because of, not because of the example that he showed us that it's not possible to sin. Because, I mean, he lived a good life to show us that we can also live that good life. But, hey, it looks like we're falling short, man. We are not living up to the standard he expected.
Yeah. That's the reason why he died. Of course, the thing is not only on the dying, but the whole process, including his life, the process of his life, how he lived, we are supposed to learn. Then when he died, now his blood now was meant to save us.
Yeah.
You see, in him we'll have what? We'll have life. So let's combine the two, his life and his death. Let's just combine those. If we make use of his death alone, it won't cover the whole gap. He set an example. John chapter 13, verse 15, said he came and set an example for us to learn. And after learning, he'll give us the power not to sin against him. If we happen to sin, we confess to God through him. You see.
I see. Now, do tell us about Christ's ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. His ministry of reconciliation. The thing is, when Adam and Eve sinned, the relationship which was which existed between humanity and divinity stopped. Now, when he came to join that gap which was created. So his reconciliation restores the relationship between God and the human race, you see.
Okay.
So, yes, we are supposed to be reconciled to God, because when Adam and Eve sinned, God came and asked, "Where are you, Adam?" And a reconciliation was supposed to be made, because the gap was created. Sin and God never see face to face. So Jesus was there to bridge the gap, because justice and righteousness of God were supposed to be seen. Justice meant that, or means Adam and Eve, the moment they sinned, they were supposed to die. But because of God's righteousness, a plan was devised to save them from dying, you see. So that's when Jesus came to bridge the gap to connect humanity and divinity.
All right. Pastor, thank you so much. I think it was a beautiful introductory conversation. We are going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for today, I do want to thank you so much for coming through, Pastor.
Thank you, Elder Zama. God bless you. Have a pleasant time.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.